Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello, my beautiful, beautiful spiritual hustlers. Can you own that you're beautiful? Please know that you're beautiful inside and out, that your beauty is medicine for the world. I digress. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and I am so excited to be with you guys today. This is an interview that you are going to freaking love. Okay. I have been friends with these beautiful sisters for so long, and to have them on the show today promoting their incredible new book is not only just an amazing gift to me, but really a gift to you. Because as you know, on this podcast here, we talk about it all. We talk about the spiritual, we talk about the hustle, combining them both, not as mutually exclusive, but as necessary to live the life that we came here to live, to make a big difference, to have success, to live a thrivingly abundant life, to make an impact in the people that we touch, all while living the life that we came here to live, which is filled with peace and joy and bliss and harmony and love and self-love and sheer freedom. I really think that's really what we're here to ultimately experience. And I couldn't think of two women in the space that are really bringing it all together in their own right. If you've been sleeping under a rock, you might not have yet heard of the women I am interviewing today, Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek. They are the founders and hosts of Almost 30, the podcast, the platform, the business, the community. And as of today, they have just launched their book, Almost 30, a definitive guide to a life you love for the next decade and beyond. Books are on shelves as of right now, so you're going to want to go run and get your copy, especially after you hear this interview. If you already have been in the space, you probably know who they are and have been waiting for them to write a book about what this beautiful apex of our lives when we reach our late 20s and how it impacts who we become in our 30s and even in our 40s. And I remember, and I say this on the podcast, like my life was kind of blowing up at the age of 28 and 30. And it wasn't until much later I learned about this concept of Saturn return. And they're going to break it all down today in the show. But I want you, as you're listening, to track back to that point in your life, or maybe you're actually in this little window of your life right now. If you're listening, we have women from all over the world listening who are of all different ages and stages in their lives. And hopefully some of this, not hopefully, I know most of it's going to track. Their book unpacks really this survival guide. It's a no bullshit roadmap to navigate your way through career meltdowns, which I know we've all had, friendship shifts, which are pretty prominent in our late 20s, early 30s, and often throughout our lives, our body and how it changes, our relationship to our body as much as anything and how that changes, spiritual awakenings, identity shakeups. These two women have written a hilarious, truly funny, and deeply relatable book filled with their own personal stories, which in my view are the best kinds of books. Expert insights, transformative practices that will help you get closer and closer and closer to your timeline. Because here's the thing, I think whether you're 28 or you're 38 or you're 58, we struggle with loosening the grip on what our lives are supposed to look like. And the more we learn to trust, the more we learn to surrender, the more we learn to come into our bodies, everything that we talk about on the show, in all the ways, the more we truly expand and live our light our true purpose, share our gifts with the world unapologetically. And that is a game, that is a journey that takes a long time to learn how to play. And these two women have written a book that hopefully get you there a little sooner, because I'm telling you, as somebody that has walked this walk and continue to walk this walk, life certainly gets a lot sweeter, not necessarily easier, but sweeter, more meaningful, more alive when we learn to truly trust that it's all happening for us in perfect time. I also want to share, we share this in the podcast, that Lindsay and Krista are going on tour all throughout the country. We're going to leave a link in the show notes to all of their incredible stops. You've got to reserve your spot because space is limited. And one of those stops is in Nashville, Tennessee, where I am based. And they have asked me so kindly and beautifully and excitingly to host them. So if you're in Nashville, if you're around town, come and say hi. The event is happening on June 7th, Saturday, June 7th at Books A Million in Nashville. And I'll be there moderating this conversation. I get to talk to these beautiful women twice. And if you want to meet them in person, I would love to meet you in person. We're going to leave a link to their book tour in the show notes, as well as a place to go get your copy if you can't make their tour. But I'm so excited to squeeze them in person in just a few days from this interview coming out. So I really cannot encourage you enough to go buy their book, because as somebody that just came off my own book tour, it is the most vulnerable and exciting and powerful moment in anyone's career to work as hard as it takes to write a book for however many months or years that it takes. And then all of a sudden it's out in the world and you're asking everyone and anyone to support you. And it's a beautiful gift to yourself as much as it is, of course, to the author. And I really cannot encourage you enough to go purchase a copy right now. Maybe purchase a few, give a few to your friends who are in this stage of life or are reflecting on their own timeline. It's a book for all of us. And so without further ado, here is a conversation for all of us, no matter where you are in your life. And they dropped gems today. They dropped gold today. And you're going to want to soak up this conversation with these two incredible friends of mine, spiritual hustling women who are co-creating the new earth. And with that, here is my conversation with Krista and Lindsay. Oh my gosh, Krista, Lindsay, sisters, you know, this is so full circle. You were on my show in 2020.
No way.
Yeah. In the middle of the pandemic, we were all like, I was in Florida renting a house because we had to get the fuck out. And I was listening to your podcast and I think I was working with Scout and she pitched you guys to come on my show as guests. And that was the first time I met you guys. And I was like, they're cool.
Obviously I've known you over the years and just been so in admiration of your work, and mostly I think in admiration of your evolution and your ability to just involve in front of people and just kind of show people that there's another way. And I think we kind of relate on that only availability to follow the soul's path. And I think that's why we connect so deeply, because we're just committed to our soul's growth and our soul's journey. And even if it doesn't make sense on the outside, or even if it doesn't make sense to go from businesswoman to spiritual person, like, we're just going to do what our souls have to do. So I'm just so grateful to be here. And we had such a good time when you came on our show. It was so powerful to see what you did with the book, and the book was so incredible. I still like have it by my bedside. And yeah, just excited to be here to talk about our book and just hang.
Oh my God. Hanging with you, Krista and Lindsay, is like one of my faves. And Lindsay, I'm so happy for you, sister. I haven't seen you in a minute. Congrats on the
beauty, I know.
The beauty, the life, all of it. Aww. It's so beautiful to witness your evolution as well.
Thank you.
I know my audience loves you guys and they are excited to learn all about this beautiful book and what's manifested to get here and what this book has to share with the world. But before we talk about all the things, I have to ask you guys my very first question, and I'll ask you both, you can each answer, which is, what are the two of you, I think I know, but what are you two currently spiritually hustling for?
Some of the messages that we share in the book, just letting people know that they're not behind, that they're becoming. And in the process of life, I think we feel like there's a destination, or we feel like there's an endpoint, or we feel like there's always a place we need to be that isn't here. And for so long in my life, I was pushing, I was forcing, I felt like there was something wrong with me. I felt like I wasn't where I needed to be, and I felt really lost. And I just wish so much for people, and especially women, who's our community, your community, that they can know that there's nothing wrong with them, that they're right on time, and that their soul knows what it's doing.
I think I'm spiritually hustling for just deep presence in my life. I don't know if that's an answer that's acceptable, but I just, there's so much going on right now with the book coming out. It's so exciting. We have worked so incredibly hard to bring this to the world, and we're so proud of it. And it just comes with a lot of moving pieces and pressure, and then factor in just everything like personally and not wanting to miss what's happening, you know, in my home on a day-to-day basis. And so I'm just like really fighting for presence on a day-to-day basis. I don't want to look back at this time and be like, damn, I was so stressed. I wasn't even taking it in that I was putting a book out into the world with my best friend. You know, I really, truly am just fighting for that on a day-to-day basis right now. And honestly, surrendering, I think fight is not quite the word, but it's just surrendering to that, because I think that's where to not sound cheesy, but like the magic is, you know, when I'm able to just realize I'm in a life that I dreamed of at some point, maybe not this exact illustration of it, but I definitely dreamed of this feeling. And so to actually be here for the feeling rather than trying to get to the next thing or to succumb to the pressures of it all.
All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta Blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta Blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
There is such a depth to the both of you and so much wisdom, like such a consciousness that, you know, you're both now what, in your mid 30s? Wait to the 40s, sisters.
It only gets better.
But I mean it when I say this. I think the magic of almost 30 and the magic of the both of you, and what I know the magic of this book is that you've always been like deep and wise and awake and conscious, even when you were younger and started the show. And I kind of want to go back to that, younger you, because women listening to my show are all ages, and I know they're going to be reflecting on their trajectory and journey. I reflect on mine. And, you know, when I was like 28, 30 to 30, that window of time, I wasn't starting a podcast like you guys. My life was like falling apart. And I know you guys had your own shit going on behind the scenes too, but like, I broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years. I moved cities, or apartments across the city. I started a whole new business. I was deeply struggling with my body and money, and all of these things felt like they were breaking down. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until a couple years later, I learned about the Saturn return. I was like, oh, that was it. And so not everybody understands what the Saturn return is. So can we just start there and have y'all break down what exactly is happening in the cosmos and how it reflects into our lives?
Like you, I mean, we were like blown away when we found this out. We were like, okay, so we're not crazy. I think a lot of people like you can feel just like your life is falling apart. And, you know, you described a version of a Saturn return that I think many have gone through, where it just shakes up areas of your life that you thought were sure, you know, you thought were a part of your plan that your mind had constructed, but it starts to break down a little bit, and for good reason. So astrologically speaking, around 29 and a half, Saturn, the planet, returns to the place in the sky it was when you were born. And why this is significant is because Saturn, the planet, is kind of like your cosmic dad. You know, he comes in and he's like, okay, I love you, but there are aspects of your life that I want you to look at with honesty and truth, and we're going to take some action on it to make sure that you are moving forward in your life a bit more aligned than when you came into this time. And Krista and I had our own aspects of our lives that were being shaken up at this time that we can go into. But, you know, this is really a portal for transformation. Change during this time wants to work on you for your greatest and highest good. So imagine if you are in this time and you know this, and you are coming up against these moments of just insane challenge, and just you're questioning everything, but you know that there is a greater purpose behind it. I think hopefully our book is that reminder and is just that support and guidance during this time, because if I had known that, I would have leaned into the unknown a bit more. I would have trusted myself a bit more. I would have trusted the timing of my life a bit more. So I just wanted to also bring into the room the neurological aspect to this transformative time, because I think it's lesser known and we've just found it fascinating to study while writing this book. So around the age of 26 or so, your prefrontal cortex comes online, and this is the part of your brain responsible for decision-making and long-term planning and emotional regulation. And up until this time, the emotional brain has really been running the show, the limbic system.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Like, let's think about our early 20s. I mean, all of my decisions were fueled by my emotional reactivity. But around this time in your late 20s, everything syncs up.
It's so, so true. Krista, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think what I would just say is that for so many of us, we feel like change is always bad. You know, in A Course in Miracles, it talks a lot about us having a negative relationship with change, because the first experience we have with change is leaving our mother's womb. So we're leaving like the spirit place to go into human form, which can be very scary when you are a soul. You're like coming back to earth to do what you need to do. And our desire is to help remember that change is how we get closer to our dream life. Change is how we get closer to the person that we are here to be. And I remember my Saturn return just feeling so scared and so afraid of all the changes in my life, but yet so desperately wanting to live differently. And it was chaotic. It was hard. It was some of the worst years of my life, but it really set me up in a way that I would have never done myself.
It's so true. I feel like it's all our curriculum. Mm-hmm. And when we're at that, you know, stage in our lives where we're really forming that prefrontal cortex, as you say, Lynn, like it can feel so so dysregulating and disruptive, and such beautiful wisdom to really anchor back into being, you know, easier on yourself and trusting yourself. And it's so challenging because that is the time of our lives where we're really coming into our own autonomy and our own full identity, and life starts to life, right? And in your book, you talk about really beautiful and important core themes to be talking about out loud. You talk about body dysmorphia and burnout and friendship and money, which are so some of the most dysregulating things to us at that time in our lives. And I think we're struggling with it as women kind of always, but it reaches sort of that apex, right? At that early, like late 20s, early 30s, when you're almost 30. Mm-hmm. And I wanna start with you, Krista, because there's chapters you guys kind of take the mic, and you're really standing in such light when it comes to your relationship with your body today. Like the woman you've shape-shifted, the woman that is in front of me is like, it's not just what you look like, it's the energy that you exude, and you've really done a lot of work to get there. And I think one of the things that feels challenging for us as women is like feeling home inside of our bodies, right? Like you say that in the book, like your body is your home. And I get that now at 43, thank God. Took me a long time, but you might say that to a 28-year-old and like sound like you're speaking in tongues, right? Like what does that even mean? So can you break down a little bit more about your journey with your body at that time and how that understanding of a remembrance of your body as your home like came to you?
It is something that I, too, during that time would have been like, ugh, like anyone that told me that intuitive eating was a thing, I was like, ugh, anyone told me they loved their body was a thing, I was like, ugh. I was so stuck in the way of feeling like I was something that needed to be fixed and feeling like I was a self-improvement project that needed to be worked on. And I spent my entire life up until my probably early 30s just feeling like there was always something to change about my body. And what I realized during my Saturn return time was that I was essentially living in this like prison, that half of my brain was present in the moment with people. And then the other half of my brain was always doing some sort of math problem, whether that was how many steps I took that day, how many macros I ate, how many calories I had, how many calories I burned, what I weighed, what I wish I weighed, et cetera. And it was almost like this addiction to the game. It was a gamification of who I was as a being. And when you can find that moment to connect with your soul, like I did in my late 20s, and realize that you're so much more than a body, that you are a soul, and that you are outside of any numbers or limitations or any matrix representation of who you are, and that you exist in this infinite universe, and there's just more beyond it, it can really give you that taste to move more closely to that. And so while I spent most of my life hating my body, doing tons of workouts, every single diet under the sun, hiding, you know, contorting all of the things, I found this moment in my Saturn return period where I was just a normal day. And I found that the soul tends to find me at normal days. I was walking across my kitchen and I just was like sort of surrendered to the fact that I might live my entire life with the belief that there was something wrong with me and that I needed to change it. And I just kind of accepted and succumbed to the narrative around my body that I would have. And I was like, I guess this is going to be my life. Maybe next lifetime, I'll love my body. Maybe next lifetime, I'll be free. And in that moment, what happened so powerfully is something that Carl Rogers calls the paradox of transformation. And he's a famous psychotherapist. He pretty much, you know, created therapy. He talks about the fact that we have to accept something in order to change it. And so when we get to that kernel of truth of, okay, this is what's happening and this is how I feel and this is my experience, there's a consciousness and there's an awareness of it, and then you can truly change and evolve. And so from that point, I started to do internal family systems therapy. I started to just connect more with my spirituality, and I started to make small changes and just loosen the grip on what I felt like I had to look like and who I had to be. And I think the biggest thing, you know, the last thing I'll say was after my divorce, really just releasing the grip on, no, I would actually say I stopped holding back. I stopped holding back what I had to say and who I was. I stopped hiding. I stopped pretending. I stopped, you know, people pleasing. I got out of codependent patterns. And it seems like that doesn't relate to the body. But when your subconscious belief is that you have to hide and that you're not worthy of space and that you have to numb and you cannot feel your feelings and you have to avoid, the relationship you have with life and food is going to be similar to that. So that was like the real next level moment for me of kind of a glow up transformation around my body and really deeply accepting my body, because I got to reclaim all of its energy after being in a space and place in that relationship that wasn't essentially serving or feeding me at all.
Because I want to just thank you for that. That's so tender and so real to hear that. Mm-hmm. And you explain that so vulnerably and relatably. And I don't care if you're in your late 20s or you're in your mid 50s, like women struggle with their bodies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What would you say to the woman right now that's listening who is feeling like she, that is her next life? That fully loving her body, fully loving her body is just not available to her right now.
Mm-hmm. I would first say that your life doesn't begin on the other side of you being the perfect weight, because we think and have this perception and idea that once we get to this weight or this destination, and it could be success, our ego is so powerful. It's like, okay, once we get to the weight, then it's the husband, then it's the house, then it's the thing. And it's like your life is happening now. Like it's happening in this moment. What you want from your life and who you want to be is not on the other side of you being a certain weight or a certain size. That's not how life works. And I think the second thing that I would do just practically is using internal family systems, which is just a psychotherapy technique that I really love and something that people can do right now, is just journaling as if you're the voice of the part of you that's gripping so tightly to the belief that you need to be thin to be loved. Like, what does this voice have to say? What is the belief of this voice? For me, the voice was, I'm only going to be loved if I'm thin. I'm only going to be successful if I'm thin. I'm only going to be all these things if I'm thin. You can then track that back probably to a memory, to an experience, to your parents, and then sort of work from there. But when we can really give that voice a space outside of us, we can more clearly reclaim the true self. So when this voice exists kind of next to us, outside of us, and we can become the true self, the inner mother, the divine mother, the most powerful radiant aspect of us, we can then kind of channel and be in that energy more. And that's when we know that we are beyond a soul, or we are beyond a body, we are a soul, and we exist in harmony with this body and this vessel for divinity and not imprisonment to it. So the journal app practice can help you kind of reclaim that self and get clear and loving compassion with the part that's really aching.
Ah, so good. I'm so excited for this book, you guys. By the way, like this,
it's funny, the body, you know what, the body stuff I think has resonated the very most out of anything that we've done, just because it's so real for anyone that I've ever met. It's real.
Linz, I know. I mean, it's so funny. Going back to our first meet, I don't know if I recall, I was like really struggling in May of 2020, but who wasn't? But I remember like I was in the shit, and then I had the scheduled interview with you guys, and it was like, I got to show up, you know, Lindsay and Krista, and you guys were just so sweet and so real from the very get-go. And I remember making a comment. I think we were on that show to talk. It was my former brand podcast. We were talking about business and stuff. And you were like, I made some comment about like 5D and like aliens. And you were like, well, let's really talk about that. And I was like, those are my girls.
And you guys are both Pleiadian honeys.
Yeah. You look like one, Lindsay.
Yeah, doesn't she? You guys look, the Pleiadian look is, the Pleiadian alien, look is crazy.
Yeah, totally. The alien in me sees the alien in you. But I remember we were hanging out in LA, Krista, like last year at some point. We were talking about you, Linz. And I was like, she's saying like, Lindsay is one of the most spiritual people, like, I know, but she doesn't show up the way you think it would. I don't remember what you said. You have a whole chapter in this book about like spirituality and like, you know, dear God, hello God, it's me, Lindsay. And yet you were really resistant to calling yourself a spiritual person, and you had this spiritual awakening. And I just, the women that are listening are kind of either like fully on board or like they're dipping their toe, right? But I think more and more people are waking up to this conversation by women like you, right? Who don't necessarily identify or has always identified as this sort of spiritual Pleiadian that you are. So can we go back and actually talk about your spiritual awakening and how you alchemized your relationship to spirit?
Thank you for that. I like Krista, grew up Catholic for the most part. Before converting to Catholicism, I was church hopping with my mom, which was so fun. We would go to various churches in our area, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, just, you know, for the love of God, honestly, and just wanting to be a part of a community. I think my mom yearned for that, and she brought us along with her, and I was curious as well. And then my parents sent me to Catholic school because I think in their eyes, being in a public school, actually more so a co-ed school, would be distracting. And so they really wanted to nurture my talent in theater and performing and all the things. So they sent me to a school that really focused on that. And I think, you know, looking back now, it was a great decision overall. It presented a slew of challenges for me that at the time I would have traded for anything. It was a really, really difficult path. One being that I just did not connect to the religious aspect of that education. I didn't connect to all of the rules around being close to God, having to memorize prayers in order to attend certain things, or saying certain things in the right order. And I just, like, none of it made sense to me. I almost felt like, wait, does my God, like, want that? It just felt so confusing. And so instead of getting even more curious, I just kind of pulled back and I became, you know, just distant from it. I would do all the things that I was told to do in school, but I wouldn't really be there for it. And I didn't really feel connected to God. And so, you know, it wasn't until I actually met my now husband when I was like 25, that I felt that, like, just little spark of my connection to God. And it was a moment where he took me on our second date. He was going to church anyway, and he's like, I'd love for you to come. Would you want to come with me to church? And I was like, loser, like, why are you going to church? Because I had been to church in so long, and I just was like, oh God, if I'm with him, this is going to be our life. Like, he's a church boy, like, whatever. Had so many judgments about it. And he's actually in the next room, so LOL, I hope he hears this. And it was like a transformative moment for me, because I really felt the presence of God when I walked in that room. Maybe it was the music, maybe it was being with my, you know, future husband 12 years mm-hmm. down the road, but I just, it was like I got to make a choice in that moment to, like, open myself up to God rather than being told you need to say this particular prayer in order to, like, land the connection with God. So it was just, it was profound, and I was very emotional. And I think that that glimmer stayed with me. It's not that I then went to church every Sunday, but I was like, oh, there's something here, and there's something greater than me. And it actually felt amazing to lean on it for an hour, you know, and not shoulder the weight of my entire life just on me, which I had been doing. I'd been trying to make, you know, my acting career happen. I had been trying to find the one. I had been trying to pay my rent that month. You know, I was just really relying solely on me. So it was a moment in my life where I just felt the heaviness, but in that moment I felt there was a possibility that there was another way. So fast forward to moving to LA, which, you know, is a whole leap of faith and story on its own, but it was in that leap to move to LA to pick up my life, start anew. You'll read about it in the book, but SoulCycle moved me out to LA. That is when I felt like I was able to trust the undercurrent that was driving me, the undercurrent that was really carrying me, the undercurrent that to my mind was, like, very unknown, but it was so solid beneath me. And I just allowed these small moments, these decision points, to be practice for me to really lean in and trust myself. And so my spiritual awakening, I'll be honest with everyone, I don't have, like, this insane story of, like, going to Peru and, you know, seeing the face of God. For me, it's happened in really small, mundane moments, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe what Krista was also describing, is that, like, I continue to talk to God and experience God and seek God in these very small, mundane moments. At this moment in my life, I'm not seeking for, you know, these spiritual experiences to like whack me over the head in a huge way. Maybe that will be my story at some point, but I found that I am being called in every moment to just get a little quieter, get a little closer, listen a little bit deeper to what God has to say and what God wants to show me. And I've just been blown away over and over and over. You know, when I look at my son's eyes and, you know, he looks back at me and says something hilarious. And, you know, when I first met my husband and the what he said to me and the way that he looked at me, you know, I can call that like a slice of God, you know. So all that to say, my life practice is just how we started this conversation, is to be as present as possible, because I know that God is in every moment, even in the moments that are challenging and, you know, nagging. And how can I challenge myself to be so present that like I see him in all of that?
Thank you for sharing that. That's just like, to be honest, some of the most profound mystical advice and perspective like I've ever heard someone say on my show. You know, because we have such a glorification of like spirituality today. It's such a trend. Like, I loved what you said about it. I didn't meet God in a ceremony in Peru. It's never hit me over my head. Like, in actuality, that in my view, that is being a spiritual being in a human body, is the witnessing of the what you would said mundane as miraculous in every single moment of just living life. And just hearing you say that is, I think, a beautiful opening for people listening, that it doesn't have to look like anything else that you see. It can be as quiet as looking into your child's eyes. I just really want to celebrate that.
And I think I just want to reiterate that if you are on that path where you are having, you know, a beautiful roller coaster of spiritual experiences and it is big and profound, that is perfect too. Right. I end the chapter by saying something to that effect of just like, I know we can get in our heads and build this spiritual hierarchy, you know, like what is more spiritual than the other thing? And am I more psychic than this person? And it's like, I mean, that is like so not spiritual, so not God. Yeah. And I think we just need to trust how it's manifesting for us and what it's looking like for us in particular, because that is perfect. And that is exactly what our soul signed up for.
Yes. Yes. So true. So I want to talk to you both. I want to transition to, you know, like I said, this book has literally everything in it. And we could talk for hours on this. And I'm so excited to spend some time with you guys in Nashville in a few weeks. We'll get to that in a second. We'll cover it.
Cannot wait.
But oh my God, we're going to be roommates for a night. I'm so excited. But, you know, obviously the women tuning in are really here to learn about business, right? And how to grow these like fulfilling, purposeful careers, which you two have done so amazingly. I mean, you're such an inspiration and aspiration to me and to so many people. And there's this double-sided coin of like finding what you love to do, which you have a chapter on, Linz, about, you know, really creating a career on your own terms, you know, and what can also happen on the other side when we're good at what we do and it starts working. Like, oftentimes we don't know how to be in our bodies to hold that expansion and then we burn out. And this whole podcast is a response to my own burnout. And I didn't really, to be honest with you guys, I don't think I've ever admitted this out loud, but I didn't know the term nervous system until about 3 or 4 years ago. Like, I'd heard about it in the ether, but I didn't really know what that was. So this is sort of an opening to both of you, because I think there's a lot to learn from how you guys found your career and just broke down sort of the traditional expectation of what it needed to look like and how women can break through that fear and those expectations of maybe it's their parents or society or their circle of friends, whatever, their partner. But then, Krista, you also talk a lot about like this unraveling, like that can happen within a lot of intense energy, like whether it's building a business or working a job. and what those flags are. So if we can just kind of break open that double-sided coin of how we break through those traditional norms to step into what we're meant to do and how we do that, if we can talk about that lens. And then Krista, if you can share how we navigate that expansion so that we're never losing ourselves at our core.
I've never had like a traditional career path in the traditional sense. I wanted to be an actress from a very young age, and I believed that I was going to be a starving artist. So I needed to learn how to bartend and have a bunch of side gigs to support me so that I could audition during the day. So that was my belief. And, you know, I learned a lot along the way. But I always had a bit of an insecurity around the fact that I didn't have that traditional path and that 9-to-5 job and that predictable paycheck and that, you know, that track that I could follow and aspire to and, you know, climb up that corporate ladder like all my friends were doing. Mm. And if I were to have done it any other way, it wouldn't have worked. I'm someone that does need to be lit up by what I am pursuing. And so though it was hard to do something that not everyone was doing, I felt like I didn't have any other choice. You know, it just was non-negotiable for me. I think what was interesting and what I think a lot of people unknowingly move through is that they think that their talents are to be expressed in a very particular way in their life. And they have this very singular vision. And mine was, I want to be an actress, or I want to be a performer, I want to be on Broadway. And I didn't even entertain the possibility that it could manifest in many other ways. And so when the podcast came about, while I was totally down to try something new and create something, I'm always someone who says yes to a creative project if it lights me up, I didn't think this would become my career. And I did have like a mini death when I realized that, wow, this thing is something that I'm good at. It's something that is becoming successful and gaining momentum, and what it meant for my acting career. And it was so meant to be that part of my life was ready to go. I was desperately waiting to be chosen when I was pursuing acting, and that just was not aligned for me anymore. But all that to say is that we come into this world with so many innate talents. I don't want to say is out of our control, because that's not totally true, but we have a responsibility to open the aperture on what is possible, you know? Mm. And I think that my life has opened up when I've allowed the mystery to come into the room of like, what's next, you know, and what is possible with all of my innate talents and interests and curiosities. I think that's when life actually becomes really, really exciting.
Gold. Gold. Oh, thank you.
Hey, sister, we have got to talk about one of the most powerful tools in my spiritual toolkit right now, okay? And that is Lotus Way. These are flower essences, liquid infusions of wildflowers that hold the energetic imprint of the flower's life force. And when I say that they instantly shift your state, I mean it. I've been using their elixirs, aura sprays, and essential oils every single day for over a year, and my entire nervous system has recalibrated. I am more grounded, more confident, more radiant, more effortless in magnetizing abundance with so much ease and feminine vibration. Now, you can go ahead and take their flower quiz, which is so much fun, at lotusway.com/JessicaZ. And discover exactly what your system is calling for. My current faves right now, because I've used so many of them, but I'm really loving Divine Within for spiritual activation and connection to higher realms. Yep. Inner Peace to soften my edges, help with anxiety. and supports my sleep, and expansive presence, which has been a game changer for my confidence. Go to lotusway.com/JessicaZ or use code JessicaZ at checkout for 10% off. It's time to elevate your frequency, align with your true power, and let the flowers do their thing. Trust, sister, you're going to feel like the most feminine version of yourself.
All right, Krista, girl, I relate on that burnout chapter to
I'm
my
still
core.
In it.
Yeah, well, you're launching
a book.
Yeah, same.
It's all good.
Exactly. I mean it when I say you guys have been in my hearts. I've been watching you do this thing, and I just know. Whether you're launching a book or whether you're going through a Saturn return or you're raising a family, like it's a real thing. So I want to know, like, why did you decide to dedicate a chapter to burnout? And what are you hoping that women really take away from that chapter?
You know, I dedicated the chapter to burnout because I'll never forget when we were on tour. You know, we had been doing the podcast for 2 years at that point, and we had full-time jobs. I was working this career in digital marketing at that time. I didn't like what I was doing. I was just kind of passing the time until I found my purpose. And, you know, I didn't really believe that I could make money being myself or doing what I love. So I was kind of working into that belief. Me and Lindsay were building the business. So we were on tour and we were in Washington, D.C. And at that time, we were traveling and doing our own content, setting up the shows, breaking them down, doing the shows, doing the travel. It was one of the most intense seasons of my life. And I don't know if I could do it again at this point. And we had this live show and there was women in Washington, D.C. And I mean, it's impossible for me to not say what I feel or be who I am. So I just get up on stage and I'm like, who here feels burnt out? And all the girls, not one hand in the audience did not raise. Not one hand did not go up. To every single woman of 150 people probably of that show was like, yes, I feel burnt out. And I just was like, what is going on? You know, like just getting curious about the fact that women are so miraculous and powerful and multidimensional and caring and empathetic and all these things. And the dynamic and systems that we're in are completely exacerbating that and taking advantage of them. Like the fact that women take on the responsibility within the home, the fact that women take on the responsibility within the workplace for managing the relationships and like the team morale, you know, this is all data that we have put in our book. More women are experiencing burnout than men. More women are making money than men. More women are college educated than men. And it's just becoming something where we're taking on so much. Not only that, we also want to build businesses. We want to have side hustles. We want to be amazing friends and mothers and lovers and all of these things. And I was someone that wanted to be everyone for everything. I wanted to be incredibly successful. I wanted to be incredibly fit. All, you know, I just had such high standards for myself that I was running myself to the ground and I was really overfunctioning in so many different ways. And my hope and desire is that women can see where there's the part of them that believes that they're not worthy of rest, or the part of them that believes that they're not worthy of love unless they're doing something, or the part of them that believes that, you know, they're never going to make it, or God doesn't have perfect timing. Like, I just want to be present with that so that we can get to the truth and we can come into more surrender and we can come into more ease and more rest, because it's taking such a toll on each and every one of us from a health perspective, from a mental health perspective. And I just haven't seen it get better since that day we were on tour.
Yeah. No, it's an epidemic. Girl.
Yeah.
I've been in many of those rooms myself and have stood on a stage and said, raise the hands. And no matter the room, no matter how big or small, everyone raises their hands.
Yeah.
So I have so many questions for you on everything. And I can't wait for people to go pick up this book and dive right in. You know, we talk a lot about the what, you know, like it's a problem. This is the reason why. Can we just quickly unpack like how we navigate it, how we heal from it on the burnout front? It's a big part of my show.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm saying this as someone that has gotten so much better over the years. I have so much more grace and love for myself, but someone that's not perfect, someone that allows the part of me that feels like I'm not doing enough to kind of run the show sometimes. So not perfect at all, but I've made so much progress and in deep love and reverence for myself and my life. So what was happening back in the day when I was sort of in the burnout phase was I was completely disregarding my body. I was living in the mind and I was addicted to the doing. So when we want to heal from burnout, we really need to see the body as addicted. The body is absolutely addicted to the cocktail of hormones that you're giving it every single day when you're burning out. We need this cocktail of hormones to motivate us, to get us up for work, to get us up for the 5 a.m. workout, to help us do all these things. So when we are kind of healing from burnout, it feels like addiction withdrawal. Yeah. I remember when we quit our jobs to go full time with almost 30, I felt so uncomfortable. I felt like I had to do more. I was trying to add things to my plate. It was an addict looking for a hit of the adrenaline that I was feeding myself for so long. So seeing yourself as an addict, that's kind of recovering and taking off and getting off of your cocktail of hormones that's been feeding you this whole way. And a way to support your body in that is magnesium salt baths, is time in nature, is hemp mats, is getting in the ocean, is yin yoga, is resting, is slowing down, things that actually help your nervous system and your body just kind of downgrade and just getting back in the body. You have to get back in the body to heal because burnout is not motivated by the body. It is motivated by the mind. So getting in the body is going to be a huge thing. Secondly, what I love to do is something called the five no's. Every single week, I'll look at my calendar or I'll look at what I'm doing and I'll try and find, or I will find, five no's. What things can I let go of? What things can I remove? What things am I going to say no to? Whether it's a conversation with a friend, a phone call from my mom, or a meeting or an invite. I am going to say five no's to things because we have too many things on our calendar. The calendar is like a Tetris game and we need to remove things to create spaciousness. Not every space needs to be filled. If you want magic, if you want miracles, if you want God, you need to leave space on your calendar. So the five no's is a really good practical thing. And then I think therapy, you know, doing something in therapy where you can really get to the true root of the part of you that's pushing so hard and understand why they're pushing you to the brink of exhaustion and physical pain to get somewhere, that's really going to be done in a therapeutic session setting or with someone that's trained to help you really understand what's driving you.
So good. So good. All of it. Damn. Okay. I want to be mindful of time. We're going to chat in Nashville. So I'll ask you even more questions then. Actually, let's talk about your tour really quickly before we take it home with some quick fire questions. You guys are going all over the country. The book comes out today. And it's like when everyone's listening to this. And then you're hitting the road. So talk to us a little bit about where you're going to be, how people can. We'll leave all the links to sign up to everything in the show notes.
It's been a minute since we've seen everyone in person, so we're ecstatic to go on tour for the book. So on June 5th, we'll be in New York City on the Upper West Side. We will be in Nashville with you on June 7th, Austin on June 8th, and then we will be in LA on June 14th. And we just wanted to hit some of our favorite cities and sit with some of our favorite people. You know, the podcast itself, we credit the community and our connection with the community as major, major, major reason for our growth and our continued drive and success. And so to give back to those people and just to celebrate the book with the community is like, you know, nothing's better. So we can't wait to see everyone in person. Space is limited, so definitely reserve your spot. And we're going to be signing books and hugs and all the things.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Can't wait. Can't wait to go to Nash. We had the best time. We had like, I think we did three events when we did Nashville, and we love the community there to do something.
Burning out doing three events.
I know. There you go. That was totally. And I was like, let's also decorate it and have spot like. But I can't wait to be with you there and your community. They're so amazing.
It's
so
amazing.
Fun. Amazing.
Well, first, I'm biased, but the community here is lit. It's just the warmest, warmest group of women I've ever met. But to you guys, like, there's nothing better than that moment when you are signing copies and hugging people. And to anyone who's listening, whether you're located in Nashville or any of those markets, like, go out and meet these two because they're real deal. They're so warm, so loving, so present. And I just think it will be such a gift on both sides. So I'm just so excited for you guys. I have one final question about the book and then we'll take it home with some quick fires. Okay.
Cool.
This is a question that I got on my book tour and every podcast. So, and I always had a different answer. It's like, if you were to summarize, like, in a sentence or two, like when that woman opens the first page, reads all of the pages and gets to the end and closes it and finishes it, what is the one thing that you really, really want her to take away?
I think for me, it's you're not behind, you're becoming. And just to trust that you're on your path.
And I think for me, it's that you can simply trust yourself. I think there's so many things vying for our attention and really wanting us to abandon what we really know. And I think when we can build that self-trust, our life completely changes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, we're going to close it down with just a few quick fire, which kind of aren't quick fire, but we can make them quick fire because we're out of time. Do you two have a favorite spiritual book? Besides, you know, your own.
Mine's A Course in Miracles, hands down.
I just love all of Mark Nepo's writing. I can't choose one. Mm. But I think for someone who just really loves storytelling, I think he has a way of weaving in, you know, God and spirit into just beautiful storytelling. So I love Mark Nepo's work.
Do you have a personal archetype, goddess, deity, ancestor, even human soul that you particularly connect with?
I would say Mary Magdalene. I'd say just feeling that, like, you know, as someone that struggled with the relationship with my mother for so long, kind of feeling the frequency of what true the actual mother is was just life-changing.
The presence of my grandfather, who I knew very well and was very close to. And I think now that I have a son, I feel like he's more present than ever. There's just like a light and levity to him and humor and groundedness that I just love to connect with and welcome in. So he's someone that lately I feel like has been guiding me.
Intuitively felt it was going to be something to do with your son, Linz, when I asked that question.
Yes.
This is a yes or no question. I already know the answer, but I love to ask it anyway. Do you guys believe in aliens?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I believe in myself.
Right. Exactly. I believe in myself. Okay. Final question. I want you both to answer this. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Showing up for goodness and God. Mm-hmm. Just showing up for the mission I came here for goodness and God.
I think just a responsibility of being myself in every way, every single day, in as many moments as possible. I just often think about if everyone on the planet did that, you know, there would be a lot more harmony and connection and reverence for one another.
I love you guys. You're magic. This was so soul food for me. And I know for everyone listening, you're so thoughtful and present and intentional in the way you communicate. And I cannot even imagine, I mean, just I've read some of it, to channel this into the book. And for the women in the world, it's such a birthing, as we were saying at the beginning. But just remember that it's like a ripple effect, and you're going to reach people in a different way than you've ever reached them. And it's going to explode. I see it. It's going to shift the paradigm with this message, and it's really your time, and I'm so excited for you. So thank you for being on my show today, my goddess spiritual hustlers who are paving the way. I love you so much.
We love you.
I will thank you so much. You're so welcome.